Thank you for being here. I know that your time is valuable, so I don't want to waste any of yours, certainly, but it is important for us to meet, to get together, to talk about what's going to be happening this summer. There are a lot of you here. Not all of you have a spot that you're serving right now. Again, if you couldn't find your name or you have any issues or you didn't even get a packet or anything like that, then please just let me know. Talk to me afterwards. Shoot me an email, a text, whatever you need to do, and we'll make sure that we get you plugged in. But I would just say, hey, thanks for being here, for being willing to serve the Lord in this way. Certainly, it's a unique opportunity just to allow the Lord to further his kingdom both in us and through us. There's about 400 kids signed up right now for VBS. Last year, we had about 550 registered. And so we're praying that with the last week of school and people thinking about their summer plans. And I know this morning I was encouraging the third, fourth, and fifth graders just to take some VBS flyers and think about who they could give it to in their neighborhood or friends or things like that. So just praying that the Lord really uses it in a powerful way, both in the lives of the kids and the families who are going to be represented in the children who are here, but certainly also for you guys who are serving, for me, and for everyone who's going to be a part of it. So by show of hands, let me see who will this be their first VBS? Who's helping out for the first time in Vacation Bible School? All right, cool. Awesome. Well, thank you. Welcome aboard. It's a wild ride. It's a good time, though. And the Lord always does some really amazing things. People are going to get saved. Kids are going to get discipled. And we're all going to get to just experience whatever it is the Lord has for us. So it won't be wasted. As we dig in here, I'm going to kind of fly through this packet. You should have gotten a packet called VBS 2025 Volunteer Meeting. And your notes are bullet points of just everything I'm going to be going towards. I think I am recording this, so for anyone who's not here who asks you about it, there is a recording that's going to be going up on our website, Lord willing. But we are just going to take some time to go through here. I would ask that if you have a pen or put it in your phone or whatever, jot down any questions as we go, because chances are I'm going to answer those questions. And if not, then I'll leave some time for answering questions at the end. So the theme for this year is taming the tongue. Taming the tongue. It's actually, we're recycling an old VBS that was done several years ago, updated, new and improved, 2.0 edition. And I'm excited just for this theme, especially. I mean, all of us can relate to the challenge of our speech. And Proverbs says that it has power, the power to give life and the power to kill or to destroy. And so we're going to be talking about just the battle that we have with our speech. There's going to be a bit of like a camp theme, like a summer camp type thing, woodsy type theme going on. So that's what's going to be happening in the skits. We're going to talk about it. There's a decorating committee that has put together some things that's going to be in your classrooms and in the hallways and stuff. So if you are thinking about decorations, how you're going to deck out your classroom and things like that, if it helps you to know that it's going to be like a camp type theme, then maybe that will bless you, because a tongue theme is just awkward and weird. And how do you decorate for that? So think camp, summer camp. Each day is going to be a different element of our speech, and we want to just reinforce that with the kids as we go through. And so we're going to go through the teaching packets. You should have received a kind of a collection of packets Monday through Friday. Hey, if you are under 18 and you're serving in a room, if you're one of the adult assistants, certainly if you are teaching, you should all become familiar with these packets, or at least the passages of scripture that are going to be taught in the room. And so Monday is going to be the power of the tongue. James chapter 3 talks about how this little muscle, the tongue, is capable of great destruction. And he uses the examples of a bridle in a horse's mouth or the rudder to turn a ship. These small things that have a big impact and can be used as set on fire of hell itself. Just like a spark can set a whole forest ablaze, the tongue has the same potential. And also life-giving potential as well. But we want to surrender our speech to the Lord for him to do with what he wills. So Psalm 141 verse 3 is going to be the theme verse for the entire week. If you are in a red group working with 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds, this is going to be their memory verse for the whole week. And then the older age groups have a different memory verse for each day after that. But 4 and 5-year-olds in those groups, in those red groups, they're going to have this verse for the whole week, which is seen on the cover of every packet. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. A great prayer for us to pray every single day, to surrender our words and the things that we say to the Lord, to ask him to guard us. So Tuesday, there's going to be several different elements of how we speak, and each day is going to be a contrast, the positive thing and the negative thing. So Tuesday is going to be truth versus lying, looking at the story of Jacob and Esau and how Jacob deceived his father and all the different lying that took place there, and thinking through the consequences of what it means to speak lies and to deceive. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. Does God delight in your words and how honest and truthful you are? Wednesday, gossip versus encouragement. This is a little bit of an interesting study. I would encourage you to spend a lot of time with it. And we'll kind of go through each day, and then I'll go through how to use the packets if you're unfamiliar with them. But this is going to be a character study on the life of Barnabas. So Barnabas, his name means son of encouragement. It's a name he was given. And we get several different snapshots of Barnabas, especially through the book of Acts. And we're going to look at his example to see how we could be encouraged, how we can build one another up. Ephesians says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up." So we're going to look at the example of Barnabas there. Thankfulness versus complaining. Exodus 16 for the context. Numbers 11, the complaining in the wilderness and the thanklessness of the Israelites there, and how God responded to those things. The importance of giving thanks. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. 1 Thessalonians would say, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So very familiar passage, but again, looking at those themes. And Friday is our gospel day, always. It is the day when we give a clear gospel presentation. We give the opportunity for all the kids just to give their life to Jesus Christ, to follow him. And of course, if this verse sounds familiar, it's because it was the same verse we used last year on Friday. So you have a head start if you helped out last year. But if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, what's the best thing you could do with your words, with your speech? To confess Jesus as Lord. And then, of course, the challenge from Christ to go into all the world and make disciples, to use your words to proclaim the gospel, the good news to everyone. You know, who can you tell? Who can you share the good news with if you have already made that decision to follow Jesus Christ and confess him as Lord? Now, all those different memory verses, they'll get kind of a big piece of paper with all the memory verses that they'll be working on throughout the week. And anyone who memorizes all five verses in the older age groups, and for the young ones, if they memorize day one's verse, they will get a certificate and a candy prize of some kind at the end of the week. Now, for going through these packets, if you're unfamiliar with them because you haven't helped at VBS or done anything in children's ministry before, the layout is hook, book, look, took, is kind of how it's organized. And so if you just look at one packet, for an example, there's going to be an objective. And I ask that whatever you do not stray from this. This is the goal. This is like the big picture, the big idea that we want the kids to come away from this particular day with. And then there are going to be key verses, one of which is the main teaching passage. Now, I would ask that all of you teachers teach from a Bible, not from a screen, not from your phone, not from an iPad, from a physical Bible that you read from and teach from. And I would ask that you do teach the main passage. The other key verses in there are to supplement that. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. So we've given you a couple verses in the Bible to kind of fill out the details of whatever the main passage is. You're welcome to use them and tell them to the kids. You're welcome just to study them yourself. You're welcome to add in your own verses to supplement. But do not stray from the main teaching passage and the main objective. And then you have your memory verse listed. And the hook is exactly what it sounds like. It's to grab attention. It's some activity or question that engages the kids' senses and gets them prepped and primed for what they're about to be taught. So the book is what it sounds like. It is just a retelling of the actual Bible passage to give you an idea of how you might state that to the kids. And then the look is more so like the exposition of that. Like, how do I apply it? How do we kind of work out the details of this in a way that applies to the kids in the room? So you can look through the look, and then took is what they come away with. So there's usually a closing activity or prayer in there, and then the family question that they will have so that they can bring something home to interact with their family on some level with in regards to a question. So hook, book, look, took. I ask that you don't stray from the main objective or from the main teaching passage. And then attached to the back of every lesson is David Guzik's commentary, which he provides for free online. But it is just sound, it's rich, it's quick. It's not super like, you know, you're not getting volumes, but it is very good and very helpful. We include it on all of our teaching packets for Sunday school as well. So that's going to be the teaching packet. For me, teaching a minimum of double digits. The best thing that you can do as a teacher is let the passage get into your heart. The best thing that you can do as an assistant, as anyone, and so for teachers especially, you need to be familiar so that you're not kind of like tripping up and losing yourself, and you don't need to be locked into a paper or page the whole time. And so I say, you know, a minimum of 10 times reading through the passage in preparation. That turns into a lot of preparation for VBS because you're teaching 5 different lessons, unless you're swapping and trading off with somebody else. And so that's a lot of reading, a lot of prep, a lot of getting it all into you so then that God can speak it out of you to the kids on a level that they can understand. I'll send it out in a link. I've done a lot of trainings that have been recorded and are online. One of them is how to use our curriculum. That would have a lot of helpful insights on how to use this packet in the best way possible. On our website, there are resources like how to teach first and second grade, how to teach 4-year-olds in kindergarten. You can look at those as well. And of course, for Friday especially, I did a teaching on how to lead a child to Christ and just some helpful insights and hints on there. So there's a lot of resources, trainings, and things that are online for you to use if you so desire, not a requirement, but I would encourage you to check that out, especially if you're uncertain about anything or find it helpful. Some general announcements in your notes. Nursery is available to volunteers if they have kids under the age of 4. And so there's a handful of volunteers who are going to be in the nursery with 3-year-olds on down. So if you have somebody who is under 4 and you have not told us yet that they need to be here in the nursery, please let us know. You can let Michelle Tuttle know or you can let me know, but let us know so we can plug them in and be ready and have enough help back there for the people who are going to be there. There is a decorating committee this year. Which means that lots of different things have been prepared so that when you walk into your room, there's at least some like baseline of decoration, that it's not just like blank walls and everything is cold and gray and sad. If you are in my room for VBS, I compensate for that by pulling out a bunch of games because I'm not a decorator. And so they don't notice that it's not decorated because I have games out. But that's not my strong suit. I know that's not everyone's strong suit. And if you walk around at a VBS, there's people who have like built entire sets and there's like all kinds of stuff going on. And then, you know, the next room is yours that is just sad. So I'm okay with that because you are all so warm and loving that like you don't need anything on the walls. Some people have volunteered to give you a baseline of decorations that you are automatically a part of. If you are in a classroom, you have to opt out of it if you do not want them to touch your room and give you some decorations. So we can speak more to that later, but just know that that's a little bit of a difference for this year. Save the dates, craft open house. Crafts are a big part of VBS. They are pretty involved. Again, I'm not a crafty person. I need this for me. So there's a craft for every single day. And Cindy Ballard puts together a whole booklet of instructions, pictures, steps, for each age group, and has open houses where there's examples of the crafts that are going to be put together in one of the classrooms so that you can come, see it, grab a booklet, just know something before you are given supplies and told to go, and there's a group of kids just looking at you wondering what they're supposed to do, and you have no idea because you're not crafty, and what is even glue? There's no glitter in VBS, you can be glad of that. But there are some things that need to be put together, and some of them are more involved than others. So set aside June 29th and July 6th. They're both Sundays between services. In the middle hallway behind the sanctuary is going to be the craft open house. Do your best to get there. All VBS volunteers will get a shirt. So if you did not let us know your shirt size, you need to do that. And you can let Marissa know. She is placing all of the volunteers, and she will make sure that we have your shirt size. If we didn't have it, we probably already reached out to you, but just in case. On the last day, Friday, we will be having pizza, water ice, and the Blue Gym as a thank you for you guys after all the kids are gone. Before you leave on Friday, this year is a little different. I am asking that everyone take ownership of their room. And so we're not leaving a bunch of like just shrapnel from the crafts all over the floor. We're not leaving stuff up on our whiteboard. We're not leaving things hanging from the ceiling. If something needs to be vacuumed, there's going to be a fleet of vacuums available. Like, for whatever room you're in, take ownership of your room, clean it up. You know, we'll have a checklist or something for you. And then come over and enjoy the pizza and water ice. And there will be a bigger cleanup that really just cleans up all of VBS. And for anyone who can jump into it extra, as extra help, it's really helpful just to put it all away. It's a lot to put out there, to prep for, to just spread all over the building, and a lot to also put away. So for anyone who can help out beyond clearing just their room after the kids leave, it's always super helpful and appreciated. Roles, moving on down. Relatively quickly, teachers take lead directing the Bible lesson time. Now you can decide if you're gonna teach together with somebody, but otherwise, teacher, you're doing five lessons that week. That is a lot, and so we've given you those lessons now so you can start preparing, start reading, start familiarizing yourself, start thinking, how am I going to teach this in a creative way? Am I going to switch up the hook and do something different? This hook is so lame that Chris wrote. Why did he even put this in here? I have a better one. Tell me what it is. I'll put it in there so that our things can be better here. But teachers take lead. Again, please teach from the Bible. Use that as the book. Let the kids know we are opening our Bibles. Our Bibles are God's word. This is where God speaks to us. God has something to say to us. And so I ask that the kids' attention be on you. They're locked in. They're not like half doing a craft, making an airplane over here, just wrestling in the corner over here. That this is a time when you gather the kids around as best you can. Their attention is on you, because if their attention is on you, then their attention's on Jesus and what he has to say to them. And so this is Vacation Bible School. We're teaching them the Bible, and that is our emphasis. And so I'm going to ask that parents allow their kids to bring their Bibles, especially first grade and up when they're starting to read. We want to teach these kids and disciples of them to interact with the Word of God, with a physical book, not with a screen, not with a game. All of those things are good and important to reinforce the truths that we're teaching, but we want to help them see and know and get schooled in the thing that is God's word. So teach from the Bible, encourage kids to bring their Bibles, help them find the spot in the Bible that you're teaching from, underline things, all that stuff. Assistance, if the teacher needs help in any element of the lesson with holding things, but really it's just seeing and noticing, again, if you're under 18 in the room as well, like what kids are being chatty, do I need to go sit down next to a kid, helping kids refocus and focus on Jesus, and just exampling, showing them what it looks like to listen to the Bible, so that they can receive from the Lord as well. So in any way that you can, assistance, be engaged, be focused on the kids. As soon as kids are there, it's all on them. Our phones aren't out. Our attention is on the kiddos, getting to know their names, getting down on their level, filling out their name tags, helping them with whatever they need help with, asking them about their summer, all those things. To put God's heart on display. And of course, everyone in the room, the entire time that we have VBS going on, pray. Just pray while you're serving, pray while the teaching's happening, pray while kids are losing their minds and throwing crowns at each other. Just pray the whole time. Give it all to the Lord in prayer. This is a spiritual work that you're stepping into. It is ministry. There's going to be an element of warfare there, and kids are going to be kids, and that's fine. But we want to make sure that we're surrendering the entire time over to the Lord and praying and just giving it to him to see what he might do with it. Be praying while the lesson is being taught, while God's word is going out. It won't return void. Buddies. For any of the kids who are mainstreaming, who have some special needs, who wouldn't be able to hang without some extra help, the goal is to have some buddies to come alongside of them to be a one-to-one for them so that they can participate, be a part of VBS, and do so in a way that they are not distracting or as distracting as they could be, and in a way that they are able to be engaged and receive what the Lord wants them to receive. So some of the kids will have buddies, will have one-to-ones, and I would ask you to pray about this year. We are thinking through, brainstorming, praying about, are we going to have a special needs room, just like we have a Sunday school room for special needs, that some of the special needs community could be a part of VBS this year. So be praying for that, for wisdom for us. But buddies are not an extra assistant in the room. Don't take them and have them do a bathroom run. They are there for one person, and that is the student that they were assigned. They're to remain with them at all times. Now, the goal is to have at least 4 volunteers in each group. So that should be plenty of help. A couple adults, a couple volunteers under 18, and generally you can expect for your classrooms that kids, you're going to have around 18 kids, plus or minus. And so just so you have an idea of what to expect, how many kids you're going to have, that's kind of going to be the picture there. Expectations. What are my expectations for you? Well, first of all, that you do prepare. that you do prepare. You can't roll into VBS just casually, rolling out of bed and, VBS is today. I guess we're doing VBS. Man, wow, I wonder what the theme is. And that's not going to fly. So prepare, read over the packets, read the passages of Scripture, be praying from now until then, July 14th. Way better to step into something with weeks of preparation before the Lord. The most beneficial thing that you can do for any of the kids you're going to be interacting with at VBS, the most helpful thing that you can do for how you interact with and serve alongside of and serve one another is going to be taking care of your own walk with the Lord and relationship with Him. Being in His Word, sitting at His feet, talking to Him in prayer, letting Him disciple you and grow you in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ so that you are filled and ready to pour out the week of VBS. Prepped and primed, filled with the Holy Spirit. So prepare. That is everyone's responsibility. Whether you're in a rec time, thinking what games you're going to do, or whether you're doing worship, or going over your lines for the skits, if you're acting, like everyone, there's a level of preparation. Preparations have been going on since January. Cindy Ballard has been having people cut out thousands and thousands of craft pieces for a long time. There's a lot of preparation that goes into VBS. But the most important preparation is spiritual. It's going to happen between you and the Lord. And that's what's going to help you be beneficial for the week of VBS. No phone use while you're serving. Of course, there's going to be emergencies and stuff like that, but especially my friends under 18, don't have your phones out. No need for that. Our attention is 100% on the kids and on what we're doing. Don't take photos. Do not take videos. Caleb Friedman, are you in the house? All right, we have a photographer, videographer who put that video together for us last year, and so you'll see him going around with a camera. We do not need to capture anything for ourselves. We don't need to get a selfie with our class in the sanctuary. We don't need to be, recording the worship as it's going on, and our kids are, like, fleeing the sanctuary. We're like, where's their leader? He's, I don't know, recording the worship. So that shouldn't be happening. Phones away. Definitely don't post anything. This has happened. I say it because it's happened. Remain with your class the entire time. I know that some of us are less physical capable. To keep up and to go to do a lot of moving around, to do a lot of steps. So no stress if you need to like hang in the classroom, rest, can't go out in the hot sun, that's cool. But 98% of you can hang with your class and can go where they go and participate in the rec and just be a part of what's going on. Give the kids your full attention. Again, Jim Elliot said, wherever you are, be all there. My wife has that quote in our home. Like, so just wherever you are, wherever you happen to be present. Be there. Whatever else may be going on in your life, whatever else might have gone on the week before or be happening the week after, whatever vacation you're looking forward to, be present when VBS is taking place. Learn the kids' names. Learn how you can pray for them. Get down on their level. Let the Holy Spirit use you to show them how much God loves them. Especially if you happen to be serving in a group or you're out at rec time and one of your friends from school or one of your good friends is around, like that is not a time to socialize. That is a time for your attention is still on the kids. I'll say that about rec time as well. That is not a time to just flex and totally annihilate the kids in gaga ball. That is not why you are serving at VBS, just to destroy and dominate out at rec time. Your time to shine is for another event. Age groups are color-coded. Pre-K and K is red. That's 4 and 5. First and second grade is blue. Third and fourth grade is green. And fifth grade is yellow. So when I talk about colors, that's what I'm talking about. Volunteer arrival. Park in this front parking lot, please. Do not park in the back. This could be the first year ever where I don't name a license plate of a car that needs to move in the back. I say that with little faith, but I give it to the Lord. And it would be just amazing and a blessing. So kids are dropped off in the back. Cars are rolling through. But our cars should not be out back. They should be out front. Enter through the bookstore entrance, which is on that side of the building, when you come in the morning. Arrival time is between 8 and 8:30, a little earlier if you're doing skit or worship. But between 8 and 8:30, kids can't be signed into rooms unless two volunteers are present. So the earlier you get here, the better. What are you going to do if you get here early? You're going to prep your room. You're going to pray with the other volunteers, give that day to the Lord, ask what's going on in their life, get to know them, and you're just going to wait patiently with just smiles on your faces, ready to welcome in that first kid so he doesn't feel awkward and afraid. And so that you're not having kids roll in and you're still getting ready and set up and you're not even able to give them your attention. Never, ever, 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 ever be alone with a child. Too deep, always. Two volunteers all the time. If it's just you alone and a parent shows up to sign kids in, I don't know what universe that would happen in when there's supposed to be 4 to 5 volunteers in a room, but maybe. Don't sign them in. Get on your radio. We're going to talk about that. And you can call us over, but never be alone with a child. We are above reproach in all things. I don't want to give anyone even a reason of a shadow of a doubt as to our integrity while we're with their kids and the safety of their children. It is a stewardship that we want to steward well. So always too deep. If you're running late or need a call out last minute, call Marissa. Marissa, wave your hand. Hello, Marissa. I gave you her phone number. She said it was totally fine. You can call her anytime, any time of day, any time of night. If you're just having a hard week, need to unload. No, only call if you're running late. Only, so save that number to your contacts. And if you're running late, if there's an accident that's like got you backed up, or if you wake up sick or something like that, let her know so that we can know to not expect you and get you coverage if we have it. All volunteers need to sign in every single day. There's going to be a sign-in table. If you want to get something from the coffee shop, which will be open, before you start serving, then get here early. Do not go to the coffee shop at 8:30 and call Marissa and say, I'm going to be a little late. My latte is still on the way. That's not okay. Get here early enough to grab something from the coffee shop. And then, of course, any drinks or any food that you bring, please keep it out of the reach of the kids. And some of these kids have severe allergies. Like, they can't even be in the same room as a peanut. So just be mindful of what you're bringing. But that's going to be available at 8 o'clock. The coffee shop's going to be open if you need it. Enter through the bookstore entrance all the way on that side of the building in the front. Fill out your name tag, highlight your name, and put your name tag in your lanyard, which is going to look like this. It's going to be a blue lanyard, and you're going to have a bunch of blank name tags, and you just put your name on it, drop it in the holder here, and that's going to be your name tag for all week. So that security, all the other volunteers, when they see you wearing this lanyard that says VBS volunteer and has your name in it, they know that you belong there. So you're going to, that's how we're going to identify that you are clear to be with the kids. Lanyards must be worn while serving. After you sign in, you can set up your room, drop your child off at whatever class they're assigned in. Just let the other volunteers know that you also are a volunteer as you drop them off so that they can find you if they need you. Daily schedule overview. Schedules will be posted in your room. Note where your group goes for rec, because all the different age groups are different places. Know what bathrooms you should be using for yourself and which ones the students should use. Talk about bathrooms in a minute. And then, it should have all the different age groups there. Sign-in is 9 o'clock for the kiddos. Kids drop-off starts at 9 through the CPAC entrance, which is in the back of the building, and kids sign in at their classrooms. So there's this kind of like corral where there's stanchions drawn and all the parents back up, and there's this buzz and the kids and people are pushing, and it's just like this kind of like wave that's waiting to be let go. And then we release them at 9, and then they just pour through the hallways and find their classroom. And then, there's a line at your classroom. Classroom sign-in is going to be by signature. We're going to talk about it in a minute. It's not by tablet or anything like that. So kids are signed into the classroom. So we want to try to make that as seamless as possible. A first day of VBS is always going to be nuts. There's people registering for the first time, getting plugged into classrooms. You're going to get kids you didn't know were coming. And it's just kind of a lot going on. But you can pray. Just cover that in prayer. Pray for the logistics of it. Sanctuary time. Wait for the announcement over the intercom or someone dropping by your class before you leave for sanctuary time. I lead worship in the sanctuary. And it's always a little unsettling to me when I'm getting the worship team ready, getting everything set, and there's a class that rolls in like 5-10 minutes early before everyone else gets there. It just kind of throws everything off. And so I would ask that we all come in together. We wait to be dismissed. There's going to be like at 9:25 a call to line your class up. And then at 9:30, we will release you to the sanctuary. But until you get released, don't go to the sanctuary. Sanctuary is going to include worship, skits, time all together. And during sanctuary time, the kids' bathroom are on this side of the building by the junior high room. And adult bathrooms are going to be on the bookstore church office side of the building. Bible time is going to immediately follow sanctuary time because there's going to be a skit that kind of shows what the lesson is going to be about in a different kind of a way. So Bible time will immediately follow. So get back to your class, get in the Word, teach it, feed them, and then there's gonna be rec snack time, and that's broken up a little bit different. Snacks are usually individually packaged, and the older kids can get a couple if they need to. Craft is gonna finish out for the older groups, and then there's gonna be sign out at 12:30. Some of the kids are gonna leave hungry, that's all right. They'll get fed when they get home. 12:30, the only other option, you know, that I've thought of is I can either make the day earlier, or I can feed them lunch. I don't want to do either of those things. So 12:30 it is. We're just going to leave it like that. And so far, they've survived every year. Parent-child arrival procedures. Through the seatback doors, I already mentioned, 9 a.m., come in, sign in at the classroom. Sign-in sheets are going to be in your room, going to have the list of kids in your room. And when children are signed in, they are able to find their assignments on the wall if they need to. An adult should oversee the sign-in, because we will have some kids with custody issues or allergies that have medications with the nurse, so it's just better if an adult oversees sign-in. You're gonna locate the child's name on the sign-in sheet, have the parent or guardian print and sign, and ask them who will be picking up the child. That's a very important prompt. So if you are signing in into a classroom, ask the parent, who's gonna be picking up your child? Is that gonna be you? If that's gonna be them, then that's great. They will come back, the signatures will match, it will be totally, totally cool. If it's gonna be somebody else, if mom's dropping off but dad's picking up, she has to let us know what dad's name is, and then we will have to check his ID when he comes. Because this isn't like the electronic system where we just see a whole list of guardians and their pictures who's allowed to pick up the children. So, you know, Marissa will get calls throughout the day, hey, I thought I was gonna be able to come pick them up, but so-and-so is picking them up instead, and we just say, hey, that's fine, they need to bring their ID when they come in. And if they come in and they don't have their ID, then we're not going to release the child to them. Even if a child says, hey, that's my dad, we'll say, all right, I'm sorry, but we need their ID. This is just what we have in place for safety, security. And once they actually cool down and realize that we desire to keep their kids safe, they'll be all right. It's going to be fine. But if anyone's giving you a hard time, you just get on your radio and ask for some help over to your room with a parent thing. And we can get on the phone, call the person who was supposed to pick them up, and smooth it all out. Name tags for kids should be written in the color group you are. So red group name tags should be written in a red marker, blue with blue, etc. Remember to write your group number on it as well if it's not on there, and this will help us if your child gets separated from your group. If we see a kid with, you know, blue too, we know exactly what room to bring them to and who to blame and not to hire for VBS next year. Anyone that has a red background on the sign-in sheet has some kind of medical need. Seizures, peanut allergies, something going on. And so we're gonna put a little pink sticker on their name tag, just to make us aware. Any medications are going to be dropped off with the nurse or Marissa at the sign-in table, at the registration table, and they're gonna be kept with our nurses. So you shouldn't have any medications in your room. You're not responsible for administering any medications. If there's an ongoing custody issue, the child will have a yellow sticker marking their name. It'll be highlighted yellow, and they'll get a yellow sticker on their name tag. Again, you'll hear a prompt to line up for sanctuary time, and you don't leave until you get another prompt to leave your room at 9:30. Late sign-in is going to start at 9:25 for the kids, and volunteers will be at the late sign-in table to physically bring the kids to you, and they will bring you a sheet of paper with the kid, and you're gonna keep that sheet of paper with you and with your sign-in sheet all day, everywhere you go, for like a head count. New registrations, if a child is just registering, they will come to your room with a separate sign-in form with a new registration sticker on it. Keep that with you throughout the day and have the parents sign it at pickup. The child's name will be added to your sign-in sheet the next day. When kids leave, again, as parent, guardian, signs child out, make sure the signatures match. If it's somebody else, check ID. If someone doesn't have a photo ID, radio for assistance. Someone from the office will come down and speak to the parent. You can start signing out another kid in the meantime so that we just, you know, things don't get backed up too bad. Leave your sign-in sheet at the end of the day in your room. We will collect them and give you a new one with more name tags if needed for the next day. Now, during VBS, in your room, you're gonna have a map and you're gonna have radios, like walkie-talkies, that you'll use for communication. Use your radio for any and everything that you may need. There is never a situation where you should have to leave your room to go hunt down Cindy for craft supplies or to get Band-Aids or for anything. You remain with your group the whole time. You do not leave your class for anything. You have a radio to communicate. Now, some of you guys will be next to a room and you guys will share a radio because we don't have enough to go all the way around, but please use your radio for everything that you need. They're all preset to the right channel. Just turn the knob to turn it on, hit the side button to speak, release it to listen. And you can just let us know your group color and number so that we know where to go. Now, head counts, very important. Every time you move location, you must do a head count. And that count should match the number of people you have signed in on your sheet and any new registrations or late sign-ins as well. So if you leave with 18 and you come back with 17, there's a problem. And so you get on your radio and say, hey, my counts aren't matching up, I'm missing one. And then we can be on the lookout for them and get them back to your room. So if you notice that a kid is missing, let us know ASAP. If you didn't do a head count the entire day and you get to the end of the day and there's rooms that have gained kids and rooms that have lost kids, then that's just gonna be a mess. And we're gonna have to tell parents, we lost your children. They could be anywhere. I have no idea where they are. And they're gonna say, you don't love my children. And I'll say, I'm sorry. We'll do better next time. Rec time. Chris, do you wanna take rec time?
Sure.
You can just shout it out.
So last year, I think you guys did a much better job of being really attentive at rec time, so thank you guys. As Chris mentioned, in years past, we had a group of about 70 teenagers running rec time, and it was absolute craziness and chaos, so we've kind of changed the format over the recent years. We usually have about two people who are over the rec time in each of the different rec areas, so we have the blue gym, the high school gym, the auditorium, and outside. And then the volunteers in the classrooms will assist and support the person who is helping out at rec time. So the person who is over that rec area should be looking at big picture stuff. They're making sure that whatever game is being played is, you know, they're taking care of that. So our expectation for those of you guys who are in the room is to be a support to them. The ways you can do that are a few. There's going to be a medical station for any injuries, so if you band-aids, ice packs, anything, those will all be available. That is not a reason to call the nurse, because you guys are able to put a band-aid on someone, get the ice pack, that stuff will all be there. The nurse is more so if it's something a little bit more severe that can't be handled. But also, in rec time, modeling it with participation, especially you younger guys, if you're in junior high, senior high, you can be participating in the game. Now, like Chris said, the point is not, all right, can I beat all of the five-year-olds at Gaga Ball, or, can I have the most home runs in kickball and, make all of these first graders cry or anything like that. No, but you can be in the game supporting. But your first priority is not to win the game or even to play the game, but it's the kids, right? So if a kid is over there, got hurt, and is crying, and you're about to score the winning run in kickball, the decision you should be making is, let me score the run first, and then I'll help the kid. It should be, I'm going to the kid. Yes, I'm going to lose the game for my team, but my job is not to win the game for my team. My job is to take care of the kids. So yes, just being attentive and being proactive and stepping in. Because again, whoever's running the gym or outside area or what have you, they shouldn't necessarily be the ones attending to the kids, because they've got to focus on the big picture. So any way that you can support that person is a huge help. And so participating, encouraging. Sometimes there's kids who, they don't have a real injury, but they have a discouragement injury, so maybe they've been struggling at whatever game that we're playing, or they don't like the game we're playing, or they're not good at the game, so they decided they don't like the game we're playing, or what have you. And that's an awesome opportunity for ministry, when that kid is sitting out, not wanting to participate, encouraging them, maybe offering to play that game with them and support them. The option is not, all right, well, I'm going to go, create a different game for you to play. We're not giving the kids 40 different options of games to play. Outside is a little different. They have a lot more choices there. But, in the gyms, we're not, all right, let me create an alternate game for you. But, supporting, encouraging these kids, encouraging good sportsmanship, looking out for any trash talk, your discouragement, stuff like that. So, does that all make sense? Anyone have any questions about that? All right.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, stay with your group, be engaged, look for the kids who's left out, approach them. You are still responsible for your class at rec time. The rec leader does not take responsibility for everyone's classes. They are there to lead the game or the activity. So you are still responsible for your class. So be on the lookout for them to help them. Craft logistics. Everything that you need for your craft should be brought to your room by the craft team. You don't need to go seek it and find it. If you think that you don't have something when craft time comes around, then you can get your radio and say, hey, I'm missing such and such piece. But you should have everything that you need. If you need additional supplies or questions, is the solution to leave your room and find Cindy Ballard? No, it is not. Get on your radio and ask. Craft open house the 29th and July 6th. Set aside those dates. You'll be thankful that you did. Bathroom policy. The most sensitive and dangerous time for a child is when they use the bathroom. We have child-only bathrooms for a reason. And so bathroom logistics are nuts when you have 550 kids in the building, because we don't have that many bathrooms. But we divide it up as best we can. So have the student use your bathroom indicated on your schedule. Child-only bathrooms, the doors are propped open so that we can hear what's going on inside. Make sure kids aren't like looking under the stalls, picking on each other, dispensing all of the soap to wash their hands, whatever the case might be. Have ears on the open bathroom to make sure the kids are protected. These bathrooms are for kids in fifth grade and under. Junior ministers, my friends under 18 who are serving, you are not to go in the child-only bathrooms. You are grown. You have graduated the child-only bathrooms. So use the big bathrooms. That being said, if you have a child that won't come out of the bathroom, a female should take another female adult in and go get them. If a child needs help with a zipper or a button or anything like that, put yourself in full view of a security camera, another volunteer, and do what you need to do, do it quickly. We have extra clothes in the nurse's office if any kids have an accident or anything like that. Adult-only bathrooms are located in the teacher's lounge and in the elementary office. They're clearly marked, do not use a child-only bathroom. And don't tell me I told you otherwise. Only adult volunteers are to take kids to the bathroom. Only adult volunteers are to take kids to the bathroom, even during sanctuary time. So don't send your 14-year-old with a group of kids to the bathroom. Why? Because anything that they need to respond to that would happen while they're at the bathroom, the fire alarm goes off, there's a big bang and a blood-curdling scream, another group rolls into the bathroom while you still have little kids in there, all of those things that are things that an adult needs to respond to. And so only adults should take kids to the bathroom. Is that clear? All right. Injuries should be assessed and treated by an adult. We have a nurse. The nurse should not be called for ice bags and Band-Aids. Ice and injury stations are available at each rec area. Like Chris talked about, use your radio and call for the nurse for anything serious. There's asthma attack or allergic reaction. I had a girl react to one of the freeze pops last year because she had a peach allergy and there was like peach juice in the freeze pop. And I was like, you're not having an allergic reaction. And I'm a nurse. I was like, no, you're not. Go outside. And then she started blowing up and I was like, oh man, got that wrong. So and we had to get her some help. I wasn't proud of that. Anything more that needs a Band-Aid or ice. All non-serious injuries should be treated at the ice station by an adult volunteer. Fill out an accident report, especially if there's anything that involves the head, guys. I have gotten calls from parents with children who have come home with injuries and said, hey, what happened to my kid? And I have no record of it. No one told me. That's the first time I'm hearing of it. Sorry. And so filling out these incident reports holds us accountable to tell the parent at pickup what happened, how we intervened, and it gets back to me so I'm aware that someone was hurt, especially if it's like a head injury or something like that. Kid took the kickball to the face or whatever, fell backwards. You know, I should be aware of those things, please. Emergency stuff. Evacuation procedure. If we have to evacuate the building for any reason, first step is to stay calm. Stay calm, the fire alarm goes off, grab your sign-in sheet so that you know how many kids you're supposed to be leaving with. This is not the time for you to panic and run out the door and leave everyone behind. This is, you are in charge, you're the leader. So you grab your sheet, you do your head count, make sure you have everybody, the radio before you exit, the back of the building, the elementary doors, back to the back parking lot to the playground area. If you're in the high school part of the building, up in the high school gym or the auditorium, then the high school gym, you're gonna go out. There's steps and double doors up there that way, and in the high school auditorium where there's another rec area, there's a door in the back of that area that goes out to the Philmont sidewalk and you go up the building to the back. But we all meet back in the playground area. Again, if a child goes missing, you know, the alarm goes off and you had kids in the bathroom or something like that, like just get on your radio, let us know who you're missing so that we can deal with it as soon as possible. I know most of us probably know what a fire alarm sounds like, but I'm still going to play it for you all the same. That is gonna make you wanna get out, I promise. It's gonna be very clear, that's the one that I get out. The other kind of alarm that will go off is a lockdown alarm. Now, if you go to the school here, if you're part of our children's ministry, you're familiar with what this is. This is that there is an active threat we need to lock down in the classrooms or in the gym or in the sanctuary, wherever we happen to be. So at the beginning of each day, adult volunteers, please hear me. Before sign-in starts, you will be given a password to be used in the event of a lockdown. We've never had to do this. We pray that we never will. Show the word to the other adults in the room. Don't say the word out loud. Just keep it to yourself. And if the lockdown alarm sounds over the intercom, I'm going to play it for you in a minute. It sounds like a submerging submarine type thing. It's very swoopy and low. If you hear it, you're going to close the door to your class. You're going to cover the window, turn the light off, insert the night lock, and then you're going to get the kids to the opposite end of the room. And if that sounds confusing, I'm going to show you in a video in a second. And so remaining calm is going to help the kids remain calm. Do not open the door until you hear the lockdown password. I come around, a security comes around and says, hey, this is Chris, the password for today is Passover, or whatever it is, lockdown's over. And then you can remove the nightstick from the slot in the door and we'll unlock the room and you know that the situation is all clear. If you're in the hallway, go to the nearest classroom. If you are in the bathrooms, then you go into the bathroom and each bathroom has a deadlock bolt and you lock yourself in there because this emergency precedes all of the other is over all of the other, you know, procedures that we go through. So that goes out the window, never being alone with the child in the event of an emergency. Your goal is just to keep them safe. And remember to take your sign-in sheets with you wherever you go so you know exactly who you should have if the lockdown alarm goes off. So that you're not wondering, do I have all my kids or not? I have no idea. And I also forgot my radio, so I can't even tell people that I'm not sure. And so we want to be ready again in the event that any of these things happen. We have a very good security team. Everything's been well thought out. There's a lot of things in place in the event that anything does happen. But we want to be diligent. We want to be prepared. We want to cover this in prayer. God forbid that any of this should ever happen. But in the event that it did, we would want to know that we had done everything possible to keep everyone as safe as possible. So let me play that video, and then I'll answer any questions you guys have.
This video is to show you what you would do in the event that the lockdown alarm went off while you're serving in children's ministry. The lockdown alarm would go off, and it would sound like this. And as soon as you hear that noise, the doors are locked on the outside, so you're going to remove your magnet from the door jamb, which will allow you to close the door. The door's now locked on the outside, and you pull your curtain across the window, you turn the lights off, and then you put your night lock in, which is mounted next to the door on the wall. This has a slot that goes right through the metal slot on the door. Slide it through, it goes into the floor just like that, and that keeps the door from being kicked down. Once that's there, you make sure your radio is off and your cell phone is off, and then you quietly get the kids to the opposite corner of the door, as far away from the door as possible, where you will keep them quiet until the lockdown is ended by somebody coming around with the password and unlocking the door. And then, of course, you would take the night lock out and let them in. If the fire alarm goes off during the lockdown, you disregard it. And if there is somebody at the door knocking to come in, you do not let them in any event unless they are unlocking the door, saying the password.
Make sense?
Sure.
All right. That means that you're not poking your head out when the lockdown alarm goes out and waving people in from down the hall. Your immediate concern is the kids who are inside your classroom. And so if kids are in the hall, they're in the hall with an adult. If you're going to the bathroom, then you just jump in whatever classroom you're next to or into the bathroom itself. The idea is that if there's an active threat in the building and there's just a hallway full of closed, dark, locked doors, that person knows that their time is limited. And so they're not going to spend a lot of time trying to get into a classroom where there may or may not be people to hurt. And so they're just going to move on. So we want to make sure that we can do our due diligence here to make sure that everything is safe and set and good to go. Now, I would just say this, guys. You know, there's going to be kids here who are unchurched. There's going to be kids here who don't even know what the Bible is. The majority of the kids are going to be church kids who are going to have interacted with God's word before. So a lot of what we're doing is going to be discipleship, helping kids grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, equipping them with the tools that they need to walk with Jesus every single day in the way that they use their speech. And for those kids who are outside the kingdom of God, it's a unique opportunity to just put God's heart on display to them and pray that by the end of the week, they would come to a saving faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, that God, that eternities would be changed through your being a part of Vacation Bible School. And so the last day, Friday, there's going to be these yellow cards in your room that just say, welcome to God's family on them. And I would just encourage you guys, after you give the gospel, if kids respond and are like, yeah, I want to be a part of God's family, that sounds amazing, put their names on there. Don't send that away with the parents. I collect all of those so that I can have an idea of who got saved, do follow up with them, make sure they get plugged into a church or equipped or get a Bible if they need one. Some of those kids are going to get saved for like the 12th time. Some of them are going to get saved for the first time, though, and that's praise God. And so, you know, I would encourage you guys to listen to that training that I did, How to Lead a Child to Christ, just for the language that you might use and how you might give those invitations and what you might do afterwards. But that kind of covers the bare basics of the monster of a thing that Vacation Bible School is. So first of all, did I leave out anything, my staff people? And second of all, does anyone have any questions? Michelle, thank you. You guys did great at this last year, props. The kids will get shirts too. They were usually given out in the middle of the week and then we all wear them on Friday. We do our best to make sure that all kids have a shirt, but if they sign up late, it's not guaranteed. So we encourage them to at least wear the color of the group they are on Friday. But don't decide yourself that a particular child hasn't showed up Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, so you're going to give this child's shirt away to this kid who has been here all week. Because they signed up yesterday, so they weren't guaranteed a shirt. And Freddie might come on Thursday or Friday, and his mom will say, I signed up in May. Why doesn't my child have a shirt? And you're going to say, I'll let you talk to Chris about that, because this is uncomfortable. So don't hand shirts away to kids they don't belong to. And if you see something and you're like, I think we could give this away, then just ask us, because we will reach out to the family and we will say, hey, are you okay if we give your shirt to such and such another child? Okay? June 29th and July 6th are two opportunities that you have to stop at the craft open house to get equipped to do the craft time. So that will happen between services on those two Sundays. So you can go to one or the other. If you go to kids.ccphilly.org, then they are on a page. You just hit the volunteer tab, and then there's something called Team Talks. And there's a bunch of different trainings on there that we have done. So kids.ccphilly.org, hit the volunteer tab, and go to Team Talks, and pick your topic of choice.
It's not the obvious, but some of the classrooms for the younger children have bathrooms in there. Can we use those, or do we need to take them to a child?
I am okay with you using them, if it seems appropriate, you know. Those kids are going to be small enough that I think it is. But if it turns into something where the kids are like, oh, he's going to the bathroom in there, then that's not okay. But that's strategic if you have that in your room, because then you don't need to get blocked up at one of the other bathrooms. And so you could use that however you desire to. Yeah, Cindy.
So does that go for sanctuary time as well? Are they allowed to take their children to their own classroom and use the bathroom, or?
That ends up being a hike. I would rather them just go over here. Yeah. Yep. You're gonna feel it out for your class, like where the windows are that you wanna use the bathroom. And then kids will still raise their hand and interrupt you and have to go. And so we'll just do our best with it, figure it out and feel it out kind of a thing, yeah. Guys, if you are here and you have not filled out a volunteer application, are an adult and have not done your clearances, are under 18 and we did not get signed permission for you from your adult, then we need those things in order for you to be able to serve. All right, if you have further questions, you can reach out to me. I'm going to send out a detailed email and a phone call so that you can look for it in your inbox that has the lessons in it, that has this recording in it, that has a bunch of different materials for you to use. So let me pray for you guys, and then I will release you. God, thank you for the work that you desire to do in us and through us. Thank you for all of the kids, Lord. You know exactly which kids will be in what seats with what volunteers. You know what volunteers are going to be serving alongside one another, Lord. And so I pray that you would fill us with your spirit. We would be of one mind, one accord. And that as this place gets filled up with kids, Lord, you would move. And that you would allow no hindrances to exist, Lord, that would keep anyone from coming to you. That everyone would experience the light and the life and the love of Christ through Vacation Bible School this year. And so I pray that you would fill us and mold us and conform us into your image leading up to VBS. That you would give us strength and perseverance and endurance, divine insight into each and every child who steps into our classroom the week of VBS, Lord. And I pray that any kids outside of your kingdom would be welcomed in, Lord, would surrender their hearts to you. And I pray for the kids who are already saved that they would get discipled and become only more sure of the things that they have already confessed, Lord. And that they would go out at the end of this week as lights in the world, Lord, not hiding their light, but proclaiming the gospel, Lord, to their neighbors, to their schools in the fall, Lord, to the kids on the playground, wherever they go, Lord. I pray that Vacation Bible School wouldn't just be a fun camp, but it would be equipping and life-giving and an establishing an event, Lord, in our lives and the lives of all who are going to participate in it, Lord. So over the areas that we still need some help, I pray that you would raise people up, Lord, the right people. And I pray that you would just bless all my friends in here, Lord. Give them what they need to serve you well, Lord. So go before us. Thank you for your work of grace in each of our lives. It is in your name we pray. Amen.